I will. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to begin this morning out of Romans chapter 12, I believe. And this, we worked on the scripture a little bit Wednesday night in Bible study, and I just kind of want to keep going a little bit with that. And we've been talking about in our Wednesday night Bible studies, talking about discipleship and the difference between being a convert or a believer or a disciple. Amen? There's a difference. Do you believe that? Yes. Hallelujah. To be converted means to change from something to something. To be a believer means to have faith and to, you know, put your agreement in or to trust in, adhere to something, to believe with faith. And I mean, a disciple is just going a little farther than all of, you have to be a convert before you're in a disciple, right? You need to be a believer before you are a disciple. But Jesus gave a great commission in Matthew 28, and he says, go and what? Make disciples, right? Go and make disciples. So we have been given a great commission to go and to make disciples. Disciples. Now, sometimes I think we get a little bit off track and we go and make converts and believers, but we forget to make disciples, right? Because a disciple is what? It's a trained one. It's one who trains from a master and then is trained by the master, but also who trains. Or as Jim shared Wednesday night, it's an apprenticeship. To apprentice under a great master. And so I love the illustrations of what Jesus does in the Gospels. We look at the stories of Jesus and we see all the great miracles, right? And we see the wonderful things he does. And like he's always got it under control. And, you know, he's always doing something. But Jesus wasn't, well, number one, we did a series one time where we talked about the scripture out of Leviticus where all of those who were blemished or injured or had disabilities or whatever it was, were disqualified from ministry, from the priesthood, and from going into the inner sanctuary of the holy place. Amen? But when Jesus comes, he systematically goes to all of those who were disqualified under the old covenant in the book of Leviticus, and he systematically goes and finds them. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So sometimes we think, well, that's just unsaved people. How many are glad that Jesus come to seek and save, seek the unlost, the lost, the unsaved? I'll get it out here in a minute. And that's good, right? We think that he's talking about the lost, those who don't know Jesus. But how many know there were some things that were lost under the old covenant? There were some things that were lost in Adam. And I believe it's a much bigger picture than just looking for a lost soul or a lost sheep. Amen? And so Jesus is constantly ministering, doing. The song says everywhere he went, he was doing good. Hallelujah. There's an epitaph for you. There's a good statement to follow your name. And everywhere they went, they were doing good. Let me pause for a moment and say it is so good to see Sister Jenny and Ike back there in the back this morning. We have missed them tremendously, and we are so thankful to have them with us this morning. And thank God for continued healing in their life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're honored. It's good. It's great to see you guys. God bless you. But how many know Jesus went and he did? He was a hands-on person. When you say that Jesus was a hands-on, he wasn't afraid to touch. He wasn't afraid to be touched. He wasn't afraid to be amongst people, to mingle. And what I love about Jesus, and you know, we sometimes say, well, Jesus, he hung out with the publicans, and he hung out with the sinners, and he hung out with, and he did. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. But what I love about Jesus is when he left the room, they would say, I want to be like him. You know, not the other way around, that he had to become like them to be one of them. No, Jesus could go in the midst of anybody, and he could just have conversation, and he could be in the presence of people. But man, when he would leave the room, men like Zacchaeus would stand up and say, you know what? I feel a change coming in my life. I feel something shifting in me. If I've been unkind, if I've been unfaithful, if I've took more than I should, I'm going to restore it back. I'm going to start changing the way I think. I'm going to start changing the way I'm acting. Because you know what? I've been in the presence of greatness today. And when I came into the presence of greatness, it changed how I thought about myself. It changed how I wanted to respond to people. It changed how I was thinking about money. It changed how I used to operate. I think I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. And I love that. And so what Jesus did, he modeled to his disciples. He would train them, because one day he would say to them, now you go and train disciples. And those disciples will go and train disciples. Amen. And so Jesus would model things to them. And so here he is in the midst of the multitude feeding the 5,000, and he's praying, and miracles are happening, and people are everywhere. And the disciples are said, like, look, Jesus, you're going to have to send them home because they're getting hungry. As a matter of fact, my belly is growling. Send the multitude away. And Jesus says to them, the folks are hungry, huh? Then feed them. And the disciples said, say what? Feed them? Like, we don't have money to feed a multitude like this. We'll be doing good to get our own lunch today. Feed the multitude. Jesus, what Jesus did, he had modeled to them miracles already. And then he said to them, now you do what you've seen me do. They're like, no, we've been waiting on you to do it. He said, we're shifting. What you've seen me do, he said to them, greater things than these shall you do. What you've seen me do, I do what I see the Father do. And what you've seen me do, I want you to begin to operate in. And so he puts a demand on them. Title of my sermon this morning is Come Full, Leave Empty. Now I've seen other church slogans that says, come empty, leave full. I'm going to shift it on you this morning, all right? And we'll get there. Now, you know what Jesus does? He puts a demand on the disciples. Feed them. Well, how am I going to feed them? I don't know what to do. How am I going to feed a multitude? But somebody starts somewhere. One of them says, wait a minute. I did know that there was somebody. Who's that person in the crowd that have 5 loaves and 2 fish? Where are you? Because Jesus needs you. Come on, because we're going to start with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I don't know what they're going to be among so many, but we're going to start somewhere. All right? And so they begin to take the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and Jesus takes the bread. And he blesses the bread. And he breaks the bread. And he starts to distribute it to the multitude. And lo and behold, the multitude gets fed. So Jesus says, here, let me show you how we do this. How many know sometimes Papa was famous for saying, you just got to start somewhere. Just start. You know, we may not have the end in mind. We may not have the budget set. We might not have everything figured out, but we're going to start somewhere. We're going to make a step of faith. We're going to move out of where we are. Hallelujah. How many know it's easy to say it, but it is harder to do it. Can we say amen? That was a weak amen. Come on, somebody. It is easy to say, man, you just got to step out in faith. You just got to live by faith. You just got to do, you know, what the words, put your faith in action. But how many know when it's time to actually get out of the boat, it's a little bit harder to walk out what we believe and what we know. Amen? And so he begins to distribute this bread to the multitude. And lo and behold, they all did eat. And we're filled, the scripture says. And I love that. And guess what? Not only did they all eat and were filled, but there were 12 basketfuls left over. Guess what? There's a basket to take back to your house if you'll just step out in faith and say, you know what? I'm going to start with what I got. It might be finances the Lord's speaking to you about. It might just be faith. It might be healing. It might be job change. It might be career choices. It might be colleges. It might be the next step in your life that God is asking you to step out to do. And how many know sometimes you just got to start somewhere? But what I love about Jesus is he did not just tell them, but he modeled to them. He demonstrated to them. And then he commissioned them and he said, all right, guys, you go now and you make disciples. Anybody remember the old Fabergé organic shampoo commercial? You tell two friends and they'll tell two friends and so on and so on and so on. How many know the most effective way to spread the gospel is face to face? If you'll make a disciple, if everybody in here today would go outside of this house and make a disciple today, we would have twice the amount of people in here next Sunday. Amen? That's what he commanded us to do, make disciples. See, we can't just make converts because converts make a change, then they don't know where they go. Right? You can become a believer, but now what do I do? But how many know that it's the training, it's the tutoring, it's the teaching, it's the word, it's the worship. It's a life lived that's dedicated to the Lord. So then we find those same guys that couldn't figure it out. Seems like all through they couldn't figure it out. But there comes a time where they have an encounter with the presence of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in an upper room. And the power of the Holy Spirit begins to move. And Peter stands up and says, men and brother, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that. That was prophesied by the prophet Joel that I'm going to pour out my spirit. Where? All flesh, not just on the 12, not just the 120 in upper room, not just on men, but on women, not just on Jew, but on the Gentile. Hallelujah. And what do? Peter preaches a sermon and 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom, right? Great first revival. You step out, man, you're the man of the hour. You preach 3,000 souls are out of the kingdom. This thing really works, right? But the scripture right after that says, and they continued steadfastly in prayer and in doctrine and in breaking the bread. How many know there's some continuing after you become a convert? There's some continuing in things. They joined themselves together. They brought their resources to continue to empower, to fund, and to make sure that what had begun would always continue. And then the next step out of that, Peter goes up to the Gate Beautiful, and there's a man begging alms. Nothing like putting your faith to the test, right? 3,000 souls are out of the kingdom. You feel like you got the world by the tail, but now there's a crippled man by the Gate Beautiful begging alms. Something rises up in Peter and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, because you got to start somewhere. Give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How many know he stepped in to what had been modeled to him, and now all of a sudden the one who was trained and tutored now becomes the teacher and the tutor and the master and begins to put in place apprentices that will do the same thing that Jesus mandated and said, go and make disciples. Hallelujah. And so it is with the kingdom of God. How many know Peter didn't go to the Gate Beautiful empty? He went full. Amen? And my thought behind that is, how many know sometimes we come and we approach church even with a mentality, man, I'm just empty and I'm wore out and the week has just been long and struggled and I'm just going to come and get filled up this morning. Amen? And isn't that amazing? To be able to just come to the house of the Lord, to just experience the presence, the sweetness of the power of the Holy Spirit and get filled up. Thank God for that. Many times I have come empty and just need to say, here's my cup, Lord, fill it up, Lord. But what I want to do is shift my thinking and shift myself to where I'm not coming empty. I'm going to come full and leave empty. How many know it's not just a matter of getting filled up when we're here, but it's pouring out while we're here? How many know there are giftings, callings, talents and treasures in this house. But unless we release those giftings and those talents and treasures in the house, we come full or we come empty, get filled up, and then we leave full and we don't pour out of what's in us. Amen? Many times in the house, the Spirit of the Lord is moving, and I believe there's a challenge to us to step out, step in, move in that spirit of what the Lord wants to do, but we're cautious, we're careful, or we're thinking, surely the Lord will tell Pastor Lisa if he wants to do something. Or he'll move on somebody that can do this better than I. Surely somebody else knows that somebody over here needs prayer, or somebody over here needs a hug, or somebody needs ministry in the house. Hallelujah. But how many know the scripture says we are a many-membered body? And that we are all part of this body, and that we are members in particular, and we have different giftings. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. It wouldn't do us any good to have a whole house full of everybody who has the same gifting, because we would be limited in what we can do. One has the power of faith and healing, and not just one, but amongst us there are the giftings of healing and miracles and faith and prophetic voices and all teachings and pastoral, apostolic. All of those things are in the house. But we limit ourselves because we limit our ability, I think, to operate in them. What's the number one thing that keeps you from operating in the giftings? Fear. Fear of being wrong. A fear of maybe I didn't hear from God. Or anybody ever question whether you heard from God? Three of you? The rest of you got it going on, let me tell you. Y'all just got it going on. The rest of you are just hearing God on a regular basis. Well, if you hear anything from me, come and tell me, all right? Let me know. Sometimes we question, because sometimes fear gets involved in our emotions, get caught up in and say, Lord, I just need to hear from you today. You know, you can write an enlightening on the ground. You can, you know, just booming, you know, voice. I'll take it like that. I'll take the still small voice. Hallelujah. But I need to hear from you, God. I want to tune my ear to hear your voice. But cause me not to limit the gifting in this house and withhold the treasure that you've put in me, because this house needs the treasures that's in it. Amen? Hallelujah. And that is not in any way in any kind of a rebuke or anything like that, but sometimes we get formalized, is that what I want to say? We get restricted to programs, or we get restricted to this is the way we've always done it. How many know good is the enemy of greatness? Good is okay, but it's the enemy of greatness, because if you become comfortable in good, you'll never strive for greatness. Amen? In your life and in the different areas of that. So in Romans chapter 12, I just want to read this. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. I'm going to hit a couple scriptures and then we'll go. All right? All right. And Romans 12, we're going to go 1 through 10 out of the Amplified. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is just a reasonable service, a rational, intelligent service, and spiritual worship. How many know presenting your bodies to God, making a decisive decision to please God, is a form of worship? It's a spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, this system, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. I want to stop there for a minute, because he talks about being the renewing of your mind. How many of you have to renew your mind? You're getting better at this. Good job. We have to renew our mind, all right? We have to change our focus. We have to change sometime and shift. Now, I gave the sample on Wednesday night, and I said to our Bible study group, I said, for the next 10 minutes, I don't want you to think about pink elephants, okay? Don't anybody in here for the next 10 minutes think about pink elephants. What are you all thinking about right now? Because the moment I tell you not to think of it, or I say something to you or make a suggestion, your mind automatically goes to pink elephants. However, then I said, where's the Statue of Liberty? What color is it? What's she got in her hand? Where'd she come from? How tall is she? 305 feet, 1 inch. These are good disciples, aren't they? They like got this down. And then I said, what are you thinking about right now? The Statue of Liberty. Terry's on. We got to work on Terry. We got to go a little bit longer. We got to work on her. Squirrel. Yeah, she's a little distracted. That's all right. That's a gifting. But what did we do? We changed our minds. We shifted. We renewed our minds. We caused our mind to think on something new. Right. So instead of thinking about pink elephants, now we're thinking about the Statue of Liberty. Same thing happens in our daily life and in our mind. How many know we can think, we can ponder and we can stress over things that just drive us crazy, and you ponder on them and you know, I've said before, there's days that I think, wow, I wish there was a little switch on the back of my brain that I could just turn it off. Just turn my brain off for like 20 minutes. You know, because it like will not stop spinning and thinking and sometimes worrying or whatever, you know, it is we think about. But how many know the only way to fix, there is a switch. Did you know that? There is a switch on your brain. You switch it from what you are focusing on that's bringing you down to what you need to focus on that'll lift you up. Amen. And we've been talking the last couple Sundays about seeing beyond what you see right now, but seeing what's happening in the heavenly, seeing beyond the valley of dry bones and seeing the great army that's in the midst of that valley, seeing beyond the host of Syrians that's camped round about you and seeing that there is more with us than there are with them. And Lord, open their eyes. And when Elisha sends a servant up into the mountain, he said, go and look and see if there's any rain. And he said, Master, I don't see anything. He said, don't quit looking. Go again, go again, go again. He said, go again 7 times. He said, well, I see something about the size of a man's hand. He said, then get yourself down and prepare your chariot because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. How many know sometimes you got to start somewhere and you got to look for God's hands in the heavens and say, I'm going to quit focusing on the drought. I'm going to quit focusing on no rain. I'm going to quit focusing on how tired I'm getting going up there and looking again. Only to come back and say, I don't see it yet. But when he didn't quit seeing, he said, I see something about the size of a man's hand. He said, go ahead, prepare your chariot. How many know sometimes we're going to have to prepare our chariot, whether you see it right now or not. Go ahead and get yourself ready because I hear a sound. And I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. So go ahead and prepare. Sometimes you got to prepare before the rain comes. Amen. He told him, he said, you go ahead and get yourself ready. You go ahead and prepare. You go ahead and put your chariot in place because I hear a sound of the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. We renew our mind. We change our focus. We take our thoughts off of what seems negative and put our thoughts on. Do you know what that's what praise and worship does? Do you know that's why we normally start with praise and worship in the church? Because we have to take our mind off of everything that happened before we got here this morning. The toast that burnt, the stuff that you couldn't find, the copier that didn't work, all of those things that frustrated you, the fight you had maybe with your kids in the car before you got here, and putting on your precious Jesus face when you walk in the back room and think, dear Jesus, you're going to have to help these babies. But here's a newsflash. Sometimes it ain't the baby. Sometimes it's us. Amen. But let me know when you come into a situation like this, or you come into here and all of a sudden I start hearing songs like, I surrender. I just surrender it to you, Lord. I want to know you more. I just surrender myself to you. And then we start singing songs like, I exalt you. Guess where my focus went when I started singing, I exalt you. It went off of where I was before I got here, and it went to a higher place. And I started lifting up the name of Jesus. And when I started hearing you guys saying, I exalt you, and you started to lift it up to a higher place, how many know there's a shift that starts to take place? And there's a shift that happens in the atmosphere and in the presence of the Lord that causes us to start to think, there's ministry in this house. There's needs in this house. There's giftings in this house. And we start to operate out of that, all right? For by grace, unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. For as in one physical body we have many parts, organs, members, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use. So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah. And individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another. Having gifts, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given us, let us, what? Use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts, encourages, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. We all have giftings, abilities, and talents that God has placed in us that he wants to use in the body. Amen? To renew your mind means to change your focus, change your thinking, change your view, and change your life. I mean, no, that's what change brings the change in your life. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. While she's going there, you know, it says, let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what's evil, loathe ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. How many know you need to heed your convictions? The things that you feel are your standards and your beliefs and your convictions. But don't be hateful to other people in doing so. You know, I see people who want to put their convictions and their beliefs and things out there. And I would never tell you to change on something that's your conviction or your belief. But how many know, and sometimes we become hateful to those who do not believe in the same way. Hallelujah. When the scripture tells us just heap whole coals of fire on their head. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. Hallelujah. How many know if I am angry and cut you off, the chances of me winning you are far less than if I can embrace you and love on you and maybe teach you something. Amen? How many know we sometimes attack those who are on the same team as us? I heard something one time, and I won't get this quoted right, but that the church or Christianity sometimes is the only one who walks over top of their wounded and keep on going. I mean, you know, in the military, in the service, they're not going to leave behind those that are theirs. But sometime in the church world, we'll leave people wounded and walk over them trying to get somewhere. When it's not about if I get there. But how many know that we minister to those all along the way that are hurting, that are struggling? How many have ever had somebody give you a hand up? A hand up is always better than a hand out. Right? So, the challenge uses, come on, get up. Let's keep going. We can do this. And we can get there together. We are better together. We are a body ministry. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. You have that one up, Carlin. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what it is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. That's what our giftings are for, and they're not limited to those five. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. How many of the purposes that we grow up into him? That we not remain babes. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I grew up. Hallelujah. I mean, there's some growing up in our relationship with the Lord, some maturity that comes. I mean, you can say you've grown up some since you come to know Jesus, and you're still growing up. Hallelujah. And I'm still not sure what I want to be when I grow up, but I'm getting there. Amen. Hallelujah. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. How many know the scripture talks about every joint supplying? Doesn't take you long if you have a joint that's not functioning to affect the whole rest of your body. Amen? Yes. Whether it be a knee that's out of joint, a back, something that's just out of place. But when every joint is doing what it's supposed to do, how many know you feel like you're invincible? Yes. You feel like you can take on the world. Hallelujah. How many know we are the body of Christ? Members in particular, when one suffers, we all suffer. We are joined together. Hallelujah. We are compacted together for a purpose, for the work of the ministry, for the growing up of the saints, for the edifying, the lifting up of the body of Christ. So that when we come together, then we realize that we're not just here for ourselves. How many know I didn't just come for me today? I come to pour out. Hallelujah. I come to get filled up. But how many know we got to come, not wait necessarily till we get here to get filled up? Come on, we don't wait till we get here to get filled up. Morgan came in the bathroom this morning and she was helping me get my Spotify, some new songs up on there and getting it brought up. And so she put a song on for me this morning. And so I'm doing my hair and it's ministering to me and I'm getting filled up before I ever get here. She put on a song, said, "There's a miracle in this room." And I'm going to put a praise on it. Hallelujah. I was about ready to do a little jig in my bathroom. But my curling iron's so hot, I figured I would have black marks all across my head. So I had to just be reserved and restrain myself. But it said, "There's a miracle in this room," and I'm going to put praise on it. How many know sometimes we got to put a demand on the gifting of God that's in the body and said, "You know what, I need something today. I'm going to put a praise on it. I'm going to put a demand on it." And sometimes we've got to put a demand on the giftings that God has put in us, whether it's teachings, whether it's trainings, whether it's loving, serving, whatever it is. We got to put a demand on it if we want to see the gifts move among us. Amen. Hallelujah. And my thought behind coming full and leaving empty, and I won't go to the scripture, but I'll close with this. You know that there was a little woman who came to the house of a Pharisee, and Jesus is having dinner there. And the scripture said she came with an alabaster box full. And she just slipped in behind, the scripture says, behind Jesus, because he's reclined, partly because the way he would recline on a couch, why they ate and the custom of how they would eat, but partly I think because she doesn't want to be noticed. She's not there to be put on a big to-do. She's not there to be introduced. She's not there to take the highest seat, but she's got to have to connect with Jesus somehow today. And she comes into the room, but she does not come empty-handed. The scripture says that Simon says, if he were a prophet. I didn't think this guy was a prophet, because if he were a prophet, he'd have known what kind of woman this is that's touching him. And he'd had some discernment about that. And he'd have known who she was and what kind of woman she was. I didn't think he was a prophet. But Jesus discerned the thoughts of Simon. He said to the Pharisee, and he said, you know what? I got somewhat to say to you. I came to your house, but you didn't wash my feet. I came to your house, and you didn't give unto me. But let me tell you what. This lady might have seemed like she came in empty, but she didn't. She brought some alabaster in a box. And she said, you know what? I'm going to come in full, and I'm going to go out empty because I'm going to break open everything I got. And when it breaks loose, there ain't no telling what might happen. But I'm going to start pouring out my praise on him. I'm going to start pouring out what I got on him. How many know it was a sacrifice for her to pour out on his feet? It took her a year's wages to have that alabaster box. Come on, somebody. That's a sacrifice. I don't know if I got it in me to give me a year's wages in that kind of faith. Anybody, come on, somebody in here. You're going to give. Are we ready to give to that level? She said, you know what? I'm going to throw caution to the wind. What have I got to lose today? I'm going to break open everything that I am. I'm going to pop the cork on this alabaster box, and I'm going to pour it out on his feet. And when she starts to do that, there's something overwhelming that comes up in here, and tears start to flow. And she said, I'm going to go ahead and wash his feet with my tears. Well, while I'm at it, let me just go ahead and dry them with the hair of my head, because nobody has ever spake like this man. Nobody has ever touched me like this man. Nobody's ever done me like Jesus. Hallelujah. And she breaks open that alabaster box, and the fragrance starts to fill the room, and people start to get indignant and say, well, who she thinks she is that she slipped in here behind? And he said, Simon, let me tell you something. You thought you came in full, but you were empty. She thought she was empty, but she came in full, and she began to pour out of what she had. He said, you know what? I'm going to tell you. He said, he goes on to tell her about the parable of the creditors. He said, to whom much is forgiven. Hallelujah. To whom much is forgiven. She was forgiven much, and she loveth much. And let's just go a step farther. Wherever the gospel is preached, I want you to tell people about this little lady today. Because she has done this unto my burial. She understands what I come to do for her. She understands that my death is her death. She understands that my burial is her burial. She understands that my resurrection is her resurrection. And she understands that my life is her life. And outside of that, there is nothing. Hallelujah. I came in full, but I'm going out empty. Because I'm going to pour out everything that I have in my vessel and in my being on him. Hallelujah. Because how many know when we pour out our praise, our anointing, our very life to him, it never goes wasted. It never goes wasted, but it changes atmospheres in the room. Stand to your feet with me. It changes atmospheres in the room. It changes focus. It changes your mind. It renews your mind. Hallelujah. Go ahead and pour out some praise on him this morning. Hallelujah. When we come together, we pour out some praise on him. Amen. How many are you ready? Are we ready for him to just stir that up inside of you? Lord, I need that stirring. I need that power of your presence in my life that maybe brings me to tears, maybe brings me to the place where I say, you know what? I'm just not going to worry about anybody around me. I don't care who sees me. I don't care who hears me. I'm here to pour out my praise on him. Hallelujah. I'm here to bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's what I came for. That's what my purpose is. Hallelujah. As Beth begins to play something, I just want you to lift your hands in this room this morning. Hallelujah. And if you're ready for this, if you're ready to come in full and go out empty, if you're ready to God do a stirring in your heart and in your being, I just want you to lift your hands in this house this morning. Hallelujah. Lift your hands in this house this morning. Hallelujah. And go ahead and cry, Lord, just stir me up. Lord, use my giftings, use my talents, use my abilities. Father, for what you've placed me in the body to do. Hallelujah. For what you've placed me in the body to do. Hallelujah. Lord, give me the strength to move when you say move. Lord, give me ears to hear what you have to say. Father, release the anointing and the power of your presence. Hallelujah, amongst us and in this house. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.